From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. President Joko Widodo urged farmers to use local organic fertilizers. Indonesia asks Asian to frame guidelines for fighting hoaxes. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where President Joko Widodo encouraged rice farmers to use local organic fertilizers in a bid to reduce dependence on chemical fertilizers and reduce cost. He made the statement during his activities in Tuban, East Java, as quoted from a press statement received by Antara on Thursday. He also noted that in the past 3 years, farmers in Tuban had been using local organic fertilizers in 1,000 hectares of land and were able to reduce the production costs. He added that if other regions can emulate this method, they will be able to reduce farming costs and dependency on chemical fertilizers. He also instructed the agriculture minister to develop the use of organic fertilizers in other provinces. However, each farmer should have at least 2 cows to produce his own organic fertilizers from cow dung. Therefore, it will be the responsibility of the agriculture ministry to provide it to make organic fertilizer for farmers. The Ministry of Communication and Informatics has urged Asian member countries to frame guidelines for tackling hoaxes in Southeast Asia. In Indonesia's chairmanship of the ASEAN this year, the Communication and Informatics Ministry has led the drafting of the guideline for combating fake news and disinformation, which is expected to be a guide for ASEAN countries. This was stated by Director General of Public Information and Communication at the Ministry, Usman Kansong, in Jakarta on Thursday. He also said that the Indonesian government has invited Asian countries to formulate guidelines together as they are also experiencing hoaxes. According to a report from the Ministry's Directorate of Informatics Application, 3 initiatives are being carried out by the government to deal with hoax content. They are, first, the upstream level, where the focus on increasing human resource capacity through digital literacy. Second, the collaboration of social media operators. And third, the downstream side, where collaboration exists between several agencies and the law enforcement institution to cope with hoax content. Indonesia has just concluded the first round of negotiations with the Eurasian Economic Union, EAEU, for a free trade agreement as part of an effort to increase export to non-traditional markets in the Eurasian region. The first negotiations round was held from April 3rd to 5th, 2023 in Jakarta. With a total population of 183 million people and a GDP value of $2.04 trillion, EAEU can become a hub for Indonesian products in Central Asia and Eastern Europe. This was affirmed by Director of Bilateral Negotiation at the Ministry of Trade, Johnny Marta, in a statement issued on Thursday. Therefore, he added that the negotiations on the Indonesia-Eurasian Economic Union Free Trade Agreement will play an important role in paving the way and opening wider opportunities for trade between Indonesia businesses and the EAEU. Indonesia has made some progress on the provisions of humanitarian aid in the ongoing crisis in Myanmar since taking over as chair of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Asian this year. This was said by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in Jakarta. She has also continued to call for an end to the bloodshed and the use of force and voiced concern over the growing number of civilian casualties, she told the media on Wednesday. Since taking the helm of the regional bloc, Indonesia has in the past 3 months facilitated the reopening of communication and consultation with various stakeholders on humanitarian aid to Myanmar, said Madam Marsudi. This will allow the Asian Coordinating Center for Humanitarian Assistance on Disaster Management, AHA Center, to provide aid to those who required it in Myanmar, regardless of their ethnic background, religion, or political orientation. Let's move on to the international news, where the Israeli jets hit sites across Gaza in the early hours of Friday in retaliations for a volley of rockets fired from Lebanon. As tensions following police raids on the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem this week threatened to spiral out of control. Ground-shaking blasts shook different areas of Gaza as Israel said its jets hit targets including tunnels and weapons manufacturing sites of Hamas. The Islamist group, which controls the blockaded southern coastal strip. The military said 34 rockets were launched from Lebanon, of which 25 were intercepted by air defense system in the biggest such attack since 2006, when Israel fought a war with the heavily armed Hezbollah movement. French President Emmanuel Macron urged China's Xi Jinping on Thursday to reason with close ally Russia and help end the Ukraine war, while Xi responded by saying he hoped that the two sides could hold peace negotiations as soon as possible. In closely watched talks in Beijing, which also involved European Union Chief Ursula von der Leyen, Macron said the West must engage Beijing to help end the crisis and prevent spiraling tensions that could split global powers into warring blocs. In comments after his meeting with Macron, Xi called for Ukraine and Russia to resume peace talks and find a political solution to the conflict. French said the discussions between the leaders were frank and constructive, while China described them as friendly and in-depth. The International Monetary Fund IMF expects global economic growth to dip below 3% in 2023 and to remain at around 3% for the next 5 years. Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva said on Thursday, flagging increased downside risk. That is the global lender's lowest medium-term growth forecast since 1990 and well below the average of growth of 3.8% seen in the past two decades. Georgieva said, strong monetary and fiscal policy action to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic and Russia's invasion of Ukraine had prevented a much worse outcome in recent years, but growth prospects remain weak given persistently high inflation. Listen, and now let's move on to the commentary for today on potential conflict with Russia after Finland joins NATO.
Today's commentary is on potential conflict with Russia after Finland joins NATO. Finland officially joined the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, on Tuesday, April 4, 2023. This was marked by the handover of the accession agreement signed by Finnish Foreign Minister Pekka Haavisto to the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. In an official ceremony in Brazil with the instrument of accession, Finland officially became the 31st member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and Finland's national flag is hoisted at NATO headquarters. Meanwhile, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, in a joint press conference with Finnish President Sauli Niinisto after the ceremony, stressed that Finland was bringing great strength and high capabilities, national resilience expertise, and years of experience working side by side with allies. After the Russian-Ukrainian war started in February last year, Finland decided to abandon its decades-old neutrality and apply to become a member of NATO. Finland's joining NATO means that the country falls under Article 5 of the alliance, namely, the Collective Defense Pledge. It stipulates that an attack on one NATO member will be considered an attack on all of them. It also brings a powerful military force to the alliance with a war mass strength of 280,000 and one of the largest artillery arsenals in Europe. On the other hand, Finland's entry into the North Atlantic Treaty Organization opens the possibility of conflict with Russia. This can be seen from the statement issued by the Russian government on the day Finland was accepted as a member of NATO. Russia stated that Finland's accession to NATO would have a negative impact on bilateral relations between the two countries. It is also seen as disrupting Russia's security and interests. For this reason, Russia stated that it would take military and other technical measures to address national security threat that arose after Finland joined the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. With Finland's accession, the borderline between NATO and Russia has more than doubled. At the same time, it will bring big changes to Northern Europe, which is one of the most stable regions in the world. NATO supports Ukraine in the war against Russia, which has not yet ended. Meanwhile, the impact of the war was so great on the world economy and trade. It is hoped that this condition will not be exacerbated by the possibility of a new conflict between Finland and Russia. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with April 7, 1906, Mount Vesuvius erupted. Mount Vesuvius is the only active volcano in mainland Europe. The mountain is located east of Naples, Italy. This mountain erupted on April 7, 1906, almost destroying the city of Naples. This mountain has erupted several times and is currently considered one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world due to the population of 3 million people living near it and their tendency to live towards explosions. Turning to 1947, the Ba'ath Party is founded in Damascus. The Ba'ath Party consists of several political parties that represent the political side of the Ba'ath movement. Initially, the Ba'ath Party functioned as a pan-Arab party with branches in several Arab countries. In 1996, the party split into two, one branch based in Syria and the other in Iraq. The two Ba'ath parties have parallel structures in the Arab world. The Ba'ath Party came to power in Syria on March 8, 1963, and remains influential until today. The Ba'athis ruled Iraq from February 1968 to 2003. After the ouster of Saddam Hussein in 2003 Iraq War, the government that occupied Iraq banned the Ba'ath Party in June 2003. And today in history with April the 7th, World Health Day. World Health Day is celebrated globally with the aim of reminding the world community of the importance of health. The establishment of April the 7th as Health Day was taken from the founding of the World Health Organization, WHO, on April the 7th, 1948. Originally, the WHO declared World Health Day to be observed on July the 22nd, but was later changed to April the 7th to mark the organization's founding. Health Day commemoration began in 1950 with a different theme each year. The theme for Health Day 2023 is Health for All. That was Today in History.
Aku salah menyangka
still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title is Government Pushing State-Owned Enterprises Houses to Penetrate the Export Market Through Trade Mission Singapore 2023. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises BUMN Erick Thohir encourages and support micro, small and medium enterprises MSMEs through Rumah BUMN, State-Owned Enterprises Houses to Penetrate the Export Market at 2023 Trade Mission Singapore or TMS Exhibition at West Mall in Singapore, April 3rd until 9th, 2023. Trade Mission Singapore 2023 is one of the exhibitions for Indonesian crafts and products. Apart from being a means of promotion and sales for artisans, this exhibition is also a venue for interaction and exchange of information regarding product trends as well as trying to make Indonesian small and medium enterprises products able to penetrate the export market. In an official statement received by Antara on Wednesday, Special Staff to the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Arya Sinulinga, stated, "The Singapore 2023 Trade Mission event is quite important because it provides space for state-owned enterprises, assisted MSMEs to showcase their superior quality products as well as the forerunner to increasing their capacity to reach export market." Arya further explained that the TMS 2023 event is in collaboration with the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, which presents 28 MSMEs assisted by 11 state-owned companies. The state-owned enterprises participating in this event included state-owned banks, PT Pertamina, PT Telkom Indonesia, PT Pupuk Indonesia, PT State Electricity Company, PT Perkebunan Nusantara, PT Angkasa Pura, PT Indonesia Asahan Aluminium, and Perum Peruri. This collaboration program with the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry will later become a springboard for MSMEs with selected products sold in Singapore to boost sales overseas. Arya also explained that in terms of curation, companies under the auspices of Kadin Indonesia Trading House will see how far the product is ready for export. Arya also emphasized that Rumah BUMN's participation in the 2023 Trade Mission Singapore exhibition is a concrete manifestation of the Minister of BUMN's support in effort to expand BUMN-assisted MSMEs, which are aggressively holding various exhibitions to introduce Indonesian quality products to the world market. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Yeah.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In addition of religious tour for today, we would like to introduce you to one of the mosques in Bengkulu province. Its name is Al Ikhlas Mosque, the oldest mosque in the province. The mosque was built by Haji Mansur from West Sumatra in 1800. Because it is the oldest mosque, the Al Ikhlas Mosque was made a cultural heritage by the Bengkulu government. This mosque is located in Padang Betuah village, Central Bengkulu Regency. Since the Al Ikhlas Mosque was founded in 1800, this mosque has not suffered any damage, although Bengkulu was hit by earthquake many times. This is because the mosque building is quite unique. The pillars supporting the mosque, made of wood and arranged, unbroken but connected to each other. The use of nails is not dominant, but rather uses wooden pegs. Moreover, the walls of the mosque are made of cement, but the inside of the walls are not filled with bricks, but the bamboo was first split and broken into pieces. Afterwards, the bamboo sticks are arranged. They are covered with cement. This is the secret why the mosque is always strong and not damaged by the earthquake. According to the statement of the local village imam, this mosque is a relic of the Sungai Limau kingdom. The walls of the mosque were made of wood, while the roof was made of dry reeds. Time by time, the village community began to add number of supporting pillars and provided a floor, while the roof was replaced with thatch leaves. Around 1985, the local villagers agreed to build a new mosque, because this old mosque could no longer accommodate all the residents of Padang Betuah village, particularly for Idul Fitri prayers or holidays. The Al Ikhlas Mosque was originally used as a center for the spread of Islam and a gathering place for community to expel invaders. Then it is gradually used as a place of worship. Currently, the oldest mosque in Bengkulu is no longer used by the village community for prayers because of its small size, around 6 times 6 meters. Therefore, the community has built a bigger mosque. Meanwhile, the old mosque is still used by children to study the Quran.
Menjadi nyata satu asa. mencapai gemilang di sana. Kilauan pelu dan air mata membakar api yang membara. Kita melangkah bersama mewujudkan mimpi menjadi nyata. Satu asa dan sejiwa untuk meraih cita.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Listeners, Miscellany for today has a topic: ITS Barunastra keeps world champion title for the fifth time. The Barunastra team from the 10 November Institute of Technology just obtained another international achievement. The ITS flagship robot ship or robot team has again successfully kept its first place title for the fifth time at the prestigious International Robot Boat Competition IRC 2023 in Sarasota, Florida, United States. Bringing their latest ship named Nala Proteus, the ITS Barunastra team won two awards at once. The awards are Grand Champion First Place and Second Place Design Documentation International Robobot Competition 2023. Barunastra ITS won these awards after competing with 24 teams from various countries in the world, even defeating the famous technology campus, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, United States. In the design documentation category, there were several stages that had to be passed, namely design report, team video and offline presentation before the local judges. In this offline presentation, the participants were asked to explain various things regarding the robobot that would be contested later, starting from the strategy for completing the design used to the method of making and working of the ship that would be contested. One of the team members, Ryan, said that in the three stages, the contestants were given 8 missions, and in order to pass the qualifying round, they needed to complete 3 missions at least.
After facing the qualifying round, the participants had to undergo an assessment with the standing system to advance to the next round. The same scoring system and missions were also applied in the final round, but with a tighter system. That's Miss Seleni.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Rote, East Nusa Tenggara. It's entitled Mana Lolo Banda. There are people who interpret Mana Lolo Banda as I am a cowherd. The song Mana Lolo Banda tells about the cowherd who is always happy. The song also contains a message to always be firm and confident in realizing dreams and goals. Here is Tehnik Sipil UNC Choir with the regional song from Rote, East Nusa Tenggara, entitled Mana Lolo Banda.
Aua iya, mana lolo banda, aua soda elelelele. Aua iya, mana lolo banda, aua soda elelelele.
Aua iya, mana lolo banda, aua soda elelelelele.
Of Indonesia.
Berderet berbaris menyatu coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa kulakukan perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata air yang terus selalu memberi karya terbaik bagi bangsa. Menjadi mata air, ciptakan kedamaian, menjawab tantangan arah tujuan masa depan Indonesia. Seluas angkasa berderet berbaris menyatu coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa kulakukan perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata yang terus mengalir, selalu memberi karya terbaik bagi bangsa. Menjadi mata air, ciptakan kedamaian, menjawab tantangan arah tujuan masa.
Menyangka tingkahmu kadang berbeda selalu.
listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.